Some of you need preaching in here anyway. John chapter 10. Come on. Come on, John chapter 10, while Children's Church is leaving. And you're not doing it all your time. Rachel's doing Children's Church.
Yes,
amen. We need some women preachers, don't we? to children. John chapter 10. Amen. John chapter 10. Hope you got your Bible. A fellow asked me one day, he said, Pastor, your church sounds awful southern. Where are we at? And so now we fix that. We let Brother Jeff Jones from Illinois sing with Billy. So we Yankeeized it. Where's he at? I done lost him. Where's he at? He's way back there. Yeah, you liked that, didn't you, brother? John chapter 10. He's really a hillbilly. He's not a Yankee. John chapter 10. He might have a northern body, but he's got a southern soul. John chapter 10. Amen. Michael, yours is starting to change. I can hear it in your accent. Amen. Amen. John chapter 10. I hope you have it. I want to talk to you today about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Now, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. But whether I finish real early or not, they will still sell you lunch wherever you land. Okay. John chapter 10. Let's start with verse 1. We're going to read through verse 16. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, that's the one that holds the door, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
Amen.
I want to stop right there, and we'll finish that, but I want to stop right there and explain. We Westerners, Americans, don't understand what this means. A sheepfold was a place right outside of town, and it'd be backed up usually in a corner where there was a cliff or a high place, and it'd have a little fence around it. And if you came into town with your sheep, you could put your sheep in there. And there might already be 10 other folds of sheep in there. It might already be others had put theirs in there while they were in town. Well, there was a man that charged you for that. He was called the porter. And the porter, he opened the door and he let your sheep in. Excuse me. Now, whenever you came back, sheep don't have brands on them like cattle. And so the porter doesn't know whose sheep it is. But the sheep know. And the porter says, and you walk up, you say, I need my 10 sheep. He opens the gate and says, help yourself. And you holler out. And they recognize your voice, and they won't follow any other voice because you're the only one. You live with them, you sleep with them, you feed them, you water them, you take care of them, and they know you, and they're not going to follow anybody else.
Yes.
So therefore, they'll come out whenever you are standing there calling them, they'll come out to you, okay? Now, a good shepherd does some things. I want to show that to you today. But other than that, let's finish, okay? Now, he says, let's start with verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them. Thank you, brother. Thank you. The crippled man brought me some water. That's a blessing. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You only get into heaven by going through Jesus. Amen. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. That's why I don't like that guy on television. I'm not against everybody. I'm just saying, I can tell you who the crook is. Amen. And just because I don't like him, don't think I'm not a good Christian. Because I'm following the real shepherd. Amen. Amen. Now, he said in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's some bad shepherds too. I'm the good shepherd. But he that is a hireling, you have to pay him to do it. It's not his sheep, it's somebody else's. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As my Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Well, now he's talking to the Jews now. They're starting to understand. But verse 16, he tells them this, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's talking about us Gentiles. Yes, sir. Well, ain't that something? Amen, amen. Now, a couple things about this good shepherd. Some things he does. Number one, he seeks his sheep. If a sheep goes astray, a good shepherd doesn't wait for it to come back, somebody to bring it to him. He seeks his sheep. Didn't he say, I came to seek and to save that which was lost? Now, I know what people mean when they get up and they say, I'm glad I found Jesus. But you didn't find Jesus. He found you. You were the one lost going astray, not him. And he came seeking you, see. I wasn't even looking for him. He found me. Amen. I thought I was doing all right out there until he interrupted my life and made me realize I was a lost, wandering, starving sheep. Amen. And then number two, he gives his life for the sheep. Now, I'm not just talking about the cross. I'm talking about he gives his life, not just death. A good shepherd gives his life. In other words, everything about his life is about his sheep. A good shepherd lays down at night, but he's always got one eye looking at his sheep. He's always protecting his sheep. He's always looking for a place to feed his sheep. He's always looking for a new place to water his sheep. He's always looking out to see if there's a sick one in the bunch. He's always looking out to see if there's one missing among the sheep. He's a good shepherd. The Bible says he's not a hireling. A hireling doesn't care. You ever go to these restaurants and it's getting more and more every day? You go in this restaurant or maybe a fast food place and you stand there and you stand there and you stand there and you keep waiting for somebody to say, can I help you? And they really don't care if you get help or not. And they think if you don't help them, they're still going to get paid. They're too dumb to realize without your money, they don't have a pay. And a lot of preachers are like that. They call themselves under-shepherds and shepherds. They're only there. If you quit paying them, they'll leave. But I got good news for you. Our chief shepherd, he lived for his sheep. He didn't live for himself. He lived for us. And so he always gives his life for his sheep. You'll never see anything Jesus ever did on planet Earth for his own personal comfort.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
No, never. He even paid a man's taxes one time by telling him to go catch a fish and take this corn out and go pay your taxes. He didn't mention how he paid his. Amen? Are y'all listening? A good shepherd lives for his sheep. A good shepherd keeps his sheep. He guards them. He protects them. He watches over them. I wouldn't have a Savior that couldn't keep me. Jude 22 says, now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless.
Yes.
If you think you got a Savior that'll let you die and go to hell, he's not a Savior. He's not a good shepherd. Amen?
Right.
You say, well, he saved me, but I got to keep me. Sheep would die if they thought that way. The shepherd has to keep the sheep. The sheep's a dumb animal. He'll walk right up to the slaughter and let you cut his throat. He'll do it. And so we're not that smart ourselves. If Jesus, our shepherd, didn't keep us, we'd die and go to hell. He provides for his sheep. Everything that they need for their safety and well-being, a shepherd will take care of that.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, a good one will. And he'll make sure to have everything they need. Our Savior the same way. He gives us what we need. From his abundance and glory, we get everything we need. And sometimes things we don't even need. He takes care of us. He watches. He supplies this. Now, this is my introduction. I'm getting to the sermon. Hang on. All right. He gathers his sheep to take them home. When they're off in a foreign place, like I said, they're in a foreign stall, or a lot of times the shepherds would meet in a big giant field, grazing their sheep, you know, letting their sheep feed together. When it came time to go home, he'd just go out there kind of like who that ever, somebody here whistled a while ago. And he might have a particular whistle that he whistled, or he might have a particular word or something like that. And in our case, when he comes to get us, we're going to hear him say, "Come up hither." And his sheep's going to know that voice, and we're going to take off. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A good sheep shepherd gathers his sheep together. He doesn't let us wander on our own. When you got saved, God didn't put you on say, "Well, now I saved you, now you're on your own. Go do the best you can." No, sir. He takes care of his sheep. And one day, he's going to come and take us home. We don't have to find our way home. He's already prepared us a home. And he's going to come get us and take us there. I like that song, "I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone." When it comes time to go home, he'll take me home. I don't have to worry about finding the way. Amen? And when you watch these stupid movies and stuff, people groping through darkness and some kind of limbo out there, you know, trying to find heaven. No, sir. No. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. A good shepherd takes his sheep home. We don't have to find our way. Amen. Amen. At the end of life, we can sing just like the old hymn, "He led me every bit of the way." Now, that sounds a lot like Jesus. Every bit of it sounds like him. And he told him, he said, "You don't understand me, so let me explain it to you." And he put it in simple terms that people that graduated and went to South Carolina schools can understand. He said, "I am the shepherd." He said, "I am the door. I am the one that takes care of you." And he said, "Not only that, I got some other flock you don't even know about, and I'm going to take care of them too." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So I got to thinking, if he's the sheep's shepherd, he's the true shepherd, he's the only shepherd, then how do you know you're one of the sheep? Now that's something. A lot of people would like me to talk about the shepherd, but they don't like me to talk about the sheep. And today I want to ask you, before we finish, I want you to know, listen, this is all I want you to know. Am I one of his sheep? And some people mistakenly say, "Well, we are all his sheep." No, we're not. No, no. No, Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, "You're either for me or against me. You're gathering for me or you're scattering abroad." And he said, everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will not enter into the kingdom. So everybody goes, church is not one of his. All religious people are not one of his. And you can't make the real sheep feel bad because you want us to believe that he's got flock that ain't his, and they're not. And you can't make us believe those people are part of him. They're not. Now they got this Christian stuff where they're trying to unite Islam and Christianity. No, sir. No. No, no, no. You don't know anything about this stuff. You don't know anything about Christianity, much less what those people believe. You're sadly mistaken. Amen. They have another shepherd. And it's not, and they'll tell you. Good preaching. That's that key that somebody said they was going to get and take home with them, Paul Roy. And there's other people. There's other people that have other shepherds. And they don't know the voice of Jesus. And they don't follow his voice. And sometimes we'll look at these people, they'll even be in our churches or in our religious assemblies, and we'll think, well, that's one of his. They look like one of his. They're in the flock. They're in the holding pen, you might say. But for some reason, they're not following him. Number one, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, they know my voice. I don't have a problem with God's voice. I don't always like what it tells me. Me and God don't always agree. But I know he's right and I'm wrong. I'm just a dumb old sheep. He's the shepherd. You know, those sheep will walk off a cliff. They're so dumb. And I know, hey, a lot of us Baptists is just about as bad.
Come on, man.
I've seen some walk over spiritual cliffs and get hurt. Now, his voice, he says, all I have to do is call them and they know my voice. He said, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now that old shepherd can go out there and say, "Woo!" That's like y'all coon hunters do, you know. Some of y'all coon hunters, you know. Say, "Woo!" They know, that's all you gotta do. They know his voice and they'll turn. Now some other old guy come out there and he says, "Well, you know, I'm the right bishop, reverend, and you need to come out here to me," and they just keep on eating. They're not gonna follow him. I don't understand how people that claim to be the sheep of the Savior do not like the Word of God. I don't understand that. I don't understand how they don't like what the Word of God tells them. In John chapter 5, verse 24, turn back just a few pages there. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That's because the shepherd's going to protect them from it.
Amen.
But is passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand how somebody claims to be a sheep and they're following the right shepherd would have a problem with the word of God. I just don't see that.
Amen.
And now, to me, the word of God's precious. You know, sheep, they liked hearing his voice. They did. He was the one that comforted them and fed them and led them and watered them. And I don't, this morning in Sunday school, some of you adults just miss things because you skipped Sunday school. And the Lord showed up this morning in Sunday school. And we were worshiping the Lord in Sunday school. Why? Because we heard his voice this morning. Through the word of God, we heard his voice. Now we're not psychotic. We don't hear voices and all that. But we know when the word of God is our spirit, he's speaking to our spirit and our spirit speaking to him. And this morning, his spirit showed up and spoke to us and it was enlightening and it was a blessing.
Amen.
But that's a mark of a sheep. We liked it because when he went to that big field of all those sheep to separate them and he hollered and they came out, here's the first thing they thought, this first thing they thought, something good is fixing to happen. This guy coming to get us. We're going to get something to eat. We're going to get a grass burger, a weed hot dog. We're going to go down there and drink some Mountain Dew out of that mountain stream. Amen. I'm putting it down redneck level so y'all can understand it, okay? And they didn't have a problem with it. They didn't ever say, well, I ain't going. I don't care what he said. I know how I feel. Well, I know what my grandma used to say. I don't care what that says. Well, then you're not one of his sheep. When we hear the shepherd, we say, woo! I heard one of them saying that over here this morning while we were singing, woo! Hallelujah! We brought old Swan up out of the water back there, and while y'all was whooping, he come up and went, whoop!
Yeah.
I don't know if he even realized he'd done it or not. But when you become one of the sheep, it excites you to hear from the shepherd.
Yeah.
And some people dread going to church because they say, that preacher's going to preach right at me.
Thank
well, thank God you got somebody to preach right at you.
Yeah.
Maybe you hear a little something from God. Have no problem. It helps me to believe more when he speaks to me.
Yes.
And every time they'd listen to that shepherd, those sheep would follow that shepherd. Y'all listening to me?
Yes.
Every time they'd follow him, they'd get something that made them more close to him. Every time. Well, I don't need a church. You do need a church.
Yes.
This is where he speaks to us in a group. And you'll be glad you did.
Yes.
I've never heard one of his sheep leave church and going out the door and look at me and shake my hand and say, I did not enjoy church today. I hated everything about it. You ever seen any of his sheep? Now, I've had some of those other sheep leave with an ugly face and a bad attitude. But the problem was they were just in the wrong group. If they'd got adopted by the real shepherd, they'd been happy.
Amen.
Did you know that obedience is shown by the sheep to their shepherd? We sing in that children's church, we'd sing, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And they'd spell it and I'd misspell it. O-B. I can't sing and spell at the same time. But obedience, he says, is better than sacrifice. You say, well, how do I show my obedience? Well, Acts 2:41 says all these people believed and they were baptized. Did you know they didn't even hear a sermon on baptism? They just knew that's the first sign of obedience.
Amen.
And I tell people, I say, look, I want to baptize you if you claim to be a believer. I don't care if you belong to my church or not, because I want to help you to be obedient.
Amen.
To the shepherd. He said, believe and be baptized, be identified with his death, burial, and resurrection, and I just want to help you be obedient if you're one of the sheep. I'm not trying to make a Baptist out of you. Get saved, get baptized, read the Bible, you'll become a Baptist.
There you go.
Well, you a lot, whether you want to own it or not, you still. That's why they call us Baptists. We believe the whole Bible.
Amen.
We obediently read and study the Scriptures to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. And they call us Baptists because of that. I don't care what you call me. I just want to be identified with the sheep.
Amen.
And obedience is the first sign that you are one of his.
Right. Yes.
Some of you kids, you're so stinking disobedient to your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, anybody in authority. Don't tell me you love them. You're a liar.
Right.
Obedience is the first sign of love. Ask my wife. I do everything she tells me to. Boy, you laughing, Brother Tyler. You almost went to the sword company. Man, you had to be in Sunday school to understand that. Obedience. That's the first sign of a true sheep. As soon as he, whoop, quit eating, quit fellowshipping with the other sheep, got in line, went out the gate, asked no questions, only did what the shepherd told him to do. Now, don't tell me you're one of his sheep and you have a problem obeying Jesus. Well, I can live like the black sheep and still be one of the white sheep. I can hang around with the goats on Friday night and sit with the sheep on Sunday morning. That's kind of like saying you can eat with the buzzards and fly with the eagles. Don't none of that fit together, amen? But obedience is not a problem for us. The Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us that we're supposed to stop every once in a while and recognize his death and his burial and his resurrection by celebrating the Lord's Supper. And there's only two things that Baptists do, baptism and Lord's Supper. And don't tell me you're a Baptist if you ain't ever been baptized and you don't partake in the Lord's Supper. And don't tell me you're a good Baptist if you don't partake in the Lord's Supper. I got quiet on that one, didn't I? I see some black spots and horns all over the place right now. Then after we get saved, we get baptized, and we start partaking in the Lord's Supper, realizing what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection for us. Then he says, go into all the world and tell everybody else. Amen. I wonder how many of you, somebody in Walmart even knows you're a Christian. You go there more than you go anywhere else. Come on. Yeah.
Yes.
I've had them walk up to me in Walmart and say, are you a preacher? I said, yeah, I am. I knew it. I just knew it. I said, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Thank you. You know. Of course, that don't make people smart, because at the hospital sometimes they mistake me for a doctor too. That would be bad. Amen. But we ought to witness to people. I guarantee that little old sheep wasn't ashamed of his master. I bet you when that voice came over, let's go! That old boy looked over at the other sheep and said, that's my master. You can't go. That's my shepherd. I'm leaving out of here. He wasn't ashamed of his shepherd. Amen? And the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And if you're not witnessing, you must be ashamed. Well, preacher, I thought you were going to talk about the shepherd. I did. I'm talking about the sheep. The shepherd changes not. Some of you cheat sheep need to do some changing.
Come on, brother preacher.
There's another thing. Not only their ears, not only their obedience, but listen to this. Their feet testify that they're his sheep. Now, sheep feet are not pretty. Matter of fact, I don't really see pretty sheep. They're usually dirty and everything until you shave them. But their feet. You know, the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good tidings, preach the gospel. Their feet. You know what? Why I say their feet? He said, they followed me. Son, get up. Get up. Stand up. Stand up. Come on, I ain't going to hurt you. Stand up. Everywhere I go, I want you to go, okay? Fine. Whoop! If I turn around and go back, he's going to turn around and go back. That's one of my sheep. Sit down. That's one of my sheep. You really ain't that pretty, but I don't want to tell you that because you got necklaces on. Listen, his sheep follow him. You know, well, you did a pretty good job, but did you know the average person that claims to be a sheep of Christ, they don't hardly ever follow him? I'm going to prove it to you. Did you know the sheep hardly ever go to the mountaintop? And that's where you want to stay. See pictures of Belinda up in the mountain about every other day.
Thank you, Lord.
But he leads down through the valley.
Yes.
Don't nobody want to be in the valley.
Amen.
But that's where the food is.
That's right.
Ain't no food on the mountaintop. Those people have to ship in everything. Don't nothing grow up there but rocks. You say, well, I go to Hendersonville and I get apples. But that ain't the mountain. That's the foothills. You ain't ever been in real mountains. Get up top of those mountains in that national park up there. You can't even breathe up there. But down, whoa, yeah, those trees don't grow up that tall up there on top. Stay out of my preaching. Woman's keep silent, church. Way down there. I ain't got any questions. Ask your husband when you get home. Well, y'all don't know I'm quoting Bible. Some of you don't even know I'm quoting Bible. Some of them don't even know that. And but down there in that valley is where the good grass is. Up there is little old spriggy, rocky things, you know. Way down in that valley is where it gets green and lush. And you know, a lot of people that claim to be sheep of Jesus Christ and claim Him as their shepherd have never been in the valley and enjoyed the things that you get down in the valley. Because, see, it's a hard trip down. And we associate the valley with hurt and tears. And it ought to be. But they miss the good things of God because they don't follow the shepherd everywhere He leads them. Matter of fact, they avoid a lot of places, Brother Billy, that the shepherd would take them and they could really get fat and healthy. But they're going to have to follow Him to do it. And it's not a crowded path. He said, "Why is the way that leads to destruction? Many there be that go there in it." He said, "But narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it." I want you parents to listen to me. Your kids ain't going to heaven because you're going to heaven.
That's right.
They're going to have to get behind that shepherd themselves. And I'm afraid a lot of parents, grandparents, or whatever, we hinder our children because we don't want them to go down in that valley. There's crying in the valley. There's weeping in the valley. There's heartbreak in the valley. But we got to be broken enough to follow the shepherd because we got nowhere else to go. And the only way that's going to happen is sometimes He's going to have to break us to get us to follow. Do you have the feet of the sheep? First John 2:19. I want you to look at 2:19. Turn there. I want you to mark this in your Bible. I'm about through. I love to hear the rustle of those pages. Sounds so much better than an iPad. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. That means shown forth. That they were not all of us. Wow. You think every once in a while when the shepherd called, somebody else's sheep might have got tangled up in the crowd, in the movement, and went out the gate with the wrong people? Sure that happened. But after a while, that one would get missing because they'd realize they didn't have the right shepherd, and they'd leave and go looking for their shepherd. And did you know a lot of people that claim to be Christians do the same thing? They'll make a profession of faith, and they may go good for a little while, but then all of a sudden one day they're not there anymore. And then later on they're against what they claim to be for in the first place. Well, Brother Ron's pretty easy. Look, they were not of the right flock.
Amen.
Jesus wasn't their shepherd. Y'all still with me? Young people, you listening? If you got an iPhone, put it up. If you got an iPad, put it up. Listen to me. You say, "I got the Bible on." Well, look up here. I'm going to preach to you. Verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," that's whatever pleases this, "the lust of the eyes," that's what pleases those, "the pride of the life," that's what pleases that old flesh to look so good, "is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it's the last time. In other words, it's the last days. It's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Their feet are following somebody else. When my kids were growing up, and I was probably a little bit too hard sometimes, they didn't put posters of rock stars and movie stars on their walls. They didn't have a TV in their room, didn't have a computer in their room. Their doors were never locked. Stayed open most of the time, unless somebody was changing clothes. Y'all young people are just kind of old now. Would y'all say amen? Some of you... There's one. Say amen. I know. Say amen. Listen. You know why? Because we knew that they didn't know the complete truth yet, and they might follow something that was a lie. And we've seen a lot of people that claim to be Christian turn around and follow a lie. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are all lies. Those are all antichrists. The people that espouse those and teach those and perform those are antichrist. That means they're against Christ. And people that follow them are not the sheep of God. I don't know who the latest singer is because I don't care. I don't know who the latest little starlet huzzy is because I don't care. I don't know who the greatest rap, rock, country, and now there's even country rap. How in the world do you do that? But I don't know who those people are because I'm not following those people nor those things. I'm following my shepherd. And he changes not. Next week you'll have a bigger, better hero. I'm going to keep the same shepherd I've got. Because I hear his voice. And I know he's got what's best in mind for me. And I know, sorry as I am, without him I wouldn't make it. He's going to carry me through. And he's going to supply my every need on the way. And I don't have to worry about what's going on out there. I don't care. And if you do care, could it be that maybe you're following the wrong people and you got bad feet? Maybe you need to get some saved feet. Get some sanctified feet. Look, those sheep walk, and when in the Bible it talks about their walk, here's what it talks about. Their lifestyle. How do you walk in this world? Your lifestyle. What do? Your habits, your hobbies, your friends, all these things. What about your walk? Now, I know these were Jesus' sheep because they walked right in line with him. And they follow him. That's their walk. Yes. Now, there's a lot of people talking the talk, but they ain't walking the walk. Right. And everybody's scared to death to say it. They're scared that they're going to be called some kind of name. I don't care what you call me. I'm 65 years old. I'm saved. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I couldn't go to hell if I want to. I've got the shepherd that's going to keep me away from hell. He's supplying my needs. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want people to like me, and I want people to think I'm a good Christian. But who can judge me and you for walking with Jesus, and they've never even read the book? But Mary, they'll say, I thought you was a Christian. And we'll look at them and say, how would you know? How would you know? You got a different shepherd than I do. We walk in different pastures. We feed on different things. We drink different water. He keeps us and takes care of us. You hunting something new every week? You trying to tell me. Good thing I got the right feet. I'm going to quit. I could preach all day long on this. I really could. John 17, 14, and I am going to quit. John 17, 14, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. We walk separate from the world. We walk separate from a worldly lifestyle and worldly dress and worldly habits and hobbies. And we stay separate from worldly people. We love sinners, but we don't run with them. We're not in their group. That's not our flock. We love them. We'd like to get them to transfer over to our flock. Amen. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. But I can tell the difference between a goat and a sheep pretty easy.
Amen.
And by the way, the wolf sometimes disguises himself as a sheep, and I can tell him a mile away. Well, you're judging, preacher. That's right. We ought to judge. We ought to make righteous judgment, right from wrong, who's real, who's not. And the sooner we start doing that, the sooner more people will get saved and get right with God. I don't have to give you a list of do's and don'ts. You're following the shepherd. He'll give you the list. I'm just that little old sheepdog. That's all I am. I'm just sheepdog. His job was to keep them in line. He'd run around there and went, get them back in line. Chase them back over there a little bit. Bunch of y'all, I spent so much time chasing him back into the flock. My bark's worse than my bite. Poor sheepdog hardly ever bit a sheep. He just barked. So I'm going to ask you today, who's your shepherd? Who's your shepherd? Jesus is the shepherd of my soul. Brother Ron gave it to him in 1978. I'm done with it. I'm not hunting anything. He's hunting for me. I'm not working for anything. He's already done the work. I'm not looking for another Savior. I got one. And by the way, you can't hurt my feelings when it comes to the shepherd and the sheep.
Amen.
See, I died March 5th, 1978. Amen. Dead people ain't got no feelings.
Right.
A preacher preached right down my row, and I love it when they do. And y'all country people know what I mean, down the row. It's in the garden, you little old city kid. You're pitiful. Right down my row. He'll preach right down my row. You know what I say?
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it, preacher. Yep. I'm wrong, you're right, the Word of God says so. I'm getting back in the flock.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. 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 I don't have to worry about anything. My shepherd does. Now let me